So this is the date of my burial. It's also the date of my new life. I heard the lights go on there. So we're going to dip into, into a passage in the Bible this morning that talks about baptism. It talks about us dying to our old self and having new life in Jesus. So I'm going to ask Nick to come and read this passage. I'm going to put it up on the screen at the same time so you can read along.
Thanks. Okay, so Romans chapter 6 and the first 14 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
Thanks, amen. God blesses his reading of his word, his inherent word. And we want to read that this morning because we haven't just made up this idea of baptism. It's actually in the Bible. Okay. And Paul here is not talking about, when we hear about burial and death for us, it's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. That's what Paul's talking about. This is what he says in that passage. There's lots of things going on there. But here's the main things. Death to sin. Sin. We don't like that word, do we? But it means missing the mark. It means that thing that separates us from God. The thing that means we're not quite good as God and won't ever be. The decisions, the things we think, the things that make us broken people, that's sin. Baptized into Christ's death, buried like Christ, raised to new life like Christ. And Paul says in one of his other letters to another group of churches, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's what we've seen this morning. The old has gone, the new has come. The symbolism of going into the waters of baptism, leaving behind our old self, is like Jesus dying, being buried, and then coming out of the waters. It's like Jesus being resurrected. That is what we're seeing. And it's a dramatic picture, isn't it? If we think about that passage, buried, made alive again. It's a wonderful piece of imagery Paul is painting for us here. And what I can't help is think about other church traditions. So some of us would have been christened here this morning or been to a christening. But for me, there's a bit of a disconnect between what Paul has said there and what we've seen this morning, this idea of dying, going under the water, our old self being dead and then being resurrected again. It's powerful, isn't it? It's dynamic. And as much as I respect that the christening type of stuff, it doesn't have the same impact as what we've just read this morning in the way Paul explains it. It's far more dramatic and far more powerful, I think. And Phil's already mentioned this morning that baptism means to dip, to immerse, to be plunged, not poured or sprinkled on. And of course, you can understand why they don't hold infants underwater. So, whose call is it? And you might have heard this morning, in the way that we baptized, it was on confession of your faith. It wasn't, if Joyce had come up with Caitlin this morning and said, I've decided, Caitlin, you're going to be baptized. That didn't happen. That would have been a bit weird, wouldn't it? So whether you're a child of one or 100, it's your decision. And we've heard that come through very clearly in the stories of the people being baptized this morning. I remember when I was baptized, well, before I was baptized, so we used to meet in Brockhill Lower School, which doesn't really exist anymore. But what we used to do at the end of our baptismal services, and I knew it was coming, there'd be a call to those out in the congregation, a bit like today, to say, if you want to be baptized next time, here's your chance to come down the front. And do you know what? I didn't want to do that. And I knew God was probably speaking to me. And there was probably a little bit of, my parents want me to be baptized. I knew it was my decision. But as soon as that time came in the meeting, I knew, because I'd been in them before, I'd go out to the toilet. Because I knew that people might watch me or look at me. Maybe there was an it was probably all in my head. But actually, nobody could make that decision for me. It was my decision. And there's a danger that we do things because our parents do them. There's a danger we do things because it's tradition, or even because there's an element of superstition. We better do this. So we've got this picture of burial and resurrection. What other things would help us understand? What things come to mind? So I did this little Wordle thing. You can plug them in online. And so these are some of the things, and it puts all the words in a nice little artistic type of thing. But here's some of the words that came to mind. Some of them you might go, okay, yeah, and I get that. And other ones you'd be going, oh, well, how does that fit with baptism? And I'm not saying all of these are correct. But actually, if you come on the 7th of April for a little lunch, you might be able to ask some questions about those words and how they fit into baptism. There's two words for me that as I was kind of just brainstorming, that stuck out. One was new start. There's something about us as humans that like a new start, isn't there? New Year's resolutions, we like the idea of them, whether we actually do them or not, it's another thing. Or maybe writing, like Fiona likes to have a little notebook, but I guess when she gets a brand new notebook, there we go, unwrap the cellophane and you start writing in it. And you write, you take extra care to write extra neatly. And you look at school books, any school teachers, at the beginning of the school book, you've got very neat writing. And then over the term, the writing probably deteriorates a little bit. There's something about new and taking care and enjoying that newness. What about a freshly hoovered car? Or that new car smell? Here's one that I thought of, which I think I quite enjoy. What about that hot chocolate jar with a little foil bit on it? And you go, poof, that's quite satisfying, isn't it? It might be just me. Anyway, we like new things. We like new starts. The other word that was on there is mystery. And I think we need to give ourselves permission that what we read in the Bible, we may not ever fully understand. And that may be with baptism. And I was looking back about when I was baptized, I was 15. And I often think, I wish I'd understood it more. But then I thought, actually, no, I understood it enough. I grasped it enough. And I just needed to get on with it. So there's an element of, yeah, for these guys who've been baptized today, they know what it's about. But actually, there's some outworking, some understanding of it. And understanding it more, and it becomes even more powerful. And that's my testimony. And even preparing this, going, what did I do not 15 years ago, it's longer than that, 25 years ago-ish. What was that about? And how have I walked in that? There's lots of things, and those things are stuff. A lot of that is something that's happening internally. And so what these guys have done this morning isn't something that they've kept to themselves. They've given us an outward display of what's been happening in here. And we're privileged to see it. And it's what I was overwhelmed by, is just seeing how many people are here this morning supporting them. That is brilliant and encouraging. So well done for coming along. Even if it's not your bag this morning to be here, it's great that you're here. What about some other pictures associated with baptism? Phil's already mentioned a couple. A stake in the ground, pitching up and saying, this is where I'm parking, this is where I'm setting up. That's what baptism's about. Nailing your colours to the mast so your friends and your enemies know what you stand for. Putting on the team kit, sponsored by. I'm here, I'm in God's team. Taking a public stand, declaring what you're about, not being shy. That's what they've done this morning. It's brave. And so carry on being brave, you guys. What about the Bible? What other pictures in the Bible? And sometimes when we look at the New Testament, we see things and we go, we've heard that before somewhere. And often in the Old Testament, there's little links and little pictures. The Bible talks in different kinds of languages, pictures, poetry, and it's also historical. But actually, there's some pictures that we can go back, and they're like echoes. So is baptism part of a bigger picture? So we had Moses, who was a Hebrew baby, could have been killed, and this baby was put in a basket and placed in water. And this man would be the leader of God's people in the future. So there's this thing of journeying or going through water to get to safety. And then later on, with Moses parting the Red Sea, leading God's people from out of Egypt, this idea of going through water to the other side, to safety, to life. And you go, is there a link here between this Paul here this morning and God's story of his people, that big story? It's amazing if you think about it like that. One other thing, important thing to maybe note, is that getting baptized doesn't make us Christians. Rather, we are baptized because we are Christians. Let me say that again. It's important to know that getting baptized doesn't make us Christians, but rather, we're baptized because we are Christians. Let me just unpack that a little bit. Anyone ever lost their wedding ring? Oh, there's a few hands. Anyone lost it permanently? Oh, wowzers. I was going to pick on my brother, who I knew had lost his ring. Phil was drumming, I think, on a New Year's Eve in a band on New Year's Eve, and I think he put it on a radiator, and there were holes in this old wooden floor, and I think it went down. He was a bit stressed in trying to find it. But do you know what? That wedding ring, a symbol of Phil and Amy's marriage, Phil still loved Amy. Amy still loved Phil. They were still committed to one another. And whilst, actually, if you had a wedding ring, your spouse would be a bit confused why you wouldn't wear it. But actually, when we get married, when people say their vows, I don't think you need a wedding ring. Correct me if anyone knows that. But baptism's similar. In that it's a symbol of your commitment to Jesus, and it's not dependent on it, just as your relationship with your spouse. Here's another one, police uniform. Police uniform doesn't make him a policeman, but it does identify him as a policeman. The thing that makes him a policeman is the unseen skills and the training and the delegation of authority, the stuff that has gone behind the scenes. So the uniform identifies him as a policeman. And so it's similar. It's an outward sign. This baptism thing is an outward sign of something going on internally, something going on inside our heart. here in this church, it's baptism is a normal, natural step in our Christian journey. And it's something we would strongly recommend to do. It's a good thing to do. I can't imagine a time where ever we'd be saying, you must get baptized. But actually we'd be going, it's great to do, and it's following the example of Jesus. Churches around the world do it slightly differently, the baptism thing. And I was reminded of a story of a man called Philip in the Bible, travelling with an Ethiopian man down the road. And this Ethiopian was delving into the scriptures, which is now our Old Testament, and seeing things about Jesus and having a relation of who God was and reading about baptism. And they're riding along the road, and the Ethiopian says, look, there's water. Why can't I just get baptized? I need to get on with it. So they did and stopped it. So, again, perhaps we don't always completely understand what God is doing, but there's a balance between just getting on with it as well and being obedient to what God's called us to do as part of our faith. I'm just going to start to round up now. We're going to come back and sing shortly. I'm going to just ask the worship guys if they wouldn't mind just getting ready. And what happens for Tony, Caitlin, and Rebecca when they step out? For many of us who have been baptized, what happened when you stepped out in the minutes, the days, the weeks after? And just realizing there's nothing to stop us making the wrong decisions, is there? We still have choices to make. But let's go back to what we read from that letter to the Romans. Paul's encouragement was, don't let sin reign over you. He said, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? There's a danger that we can resurrect our old self. Frankenstein, well, probably anybody over 20, 30 might know it. This craze about zombie movies, isn't it? It's not my cup of tea, but this idea of bringing back our old self. And it's like we've got our old self over here. And this is us in new life over here. But sometimes we keep looking back and going, oh, well, I might want a little bit of him back. Let's see if we can bring this guy back to life over here. And Paul's saying, no. One of the churches in Africa, one of the indigenous churches in Africa, they have this thing where some of them, they use the sea for baptism. They get somebody's legs and somebody's arms and swing them into the ocean. We baptize you in the name of the Father and throw them. Then they let the tide bring them back in again. Pick them up in the name of the Son, and let them come back in again. There's a struggle to getting back in again. In the name of the Spirit. Yeah, you know what's coming. And but it's about, actually they have made a decision, but actually life still needs working at, that Christian life, that struggle still needs working at. So our position over here is dead to sin. It's our identity. But Paul, in that letter, there's a calling up that not only should it be our position, but also our experience. And that's Paul's calling. It's his encouragement to us. I want to link it into a hymn. Many of you will recognize this. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. What stops us going back over here to Zombie Boy? The things that occupy our thoughts, the things that we are drawn to, the vain things, the things we spend our time on aren't always valuable or even helpful. What are the vain things? The things that charm you most, the things that you want to do that actually aren't great. Coming back to the cross. And this water this morning is a symbolism, but actually It's all about this thing behind the drums here, the work of the cross and the work of Jesus. So as we finish, what did baptism mean for you? What do you remember about it when you did it? Has it changed? Has it become clearer? And the beauty is that we don't get baptized in a closed cupboard somewhere where no one sees. In fact, we were listening to somebody at another church who was working in, I can't say the country really, but in the east somewhere, where actually it was pretty much illegal, and you would probably get killed if you said you were a follower of Jesus. So this person wanted to be baptized, but the only way to do it was in secret, and they would get in their shower, but also have their phone to say, they wanted to share it with somebody and be part of a community of believers, knowing that they weren't on their own, going, I'm in the shower, I'm about to baptize myself. Not ideal, but the point is actually we've seen this together. It's our job to support these guys. It's our job to support each other. That's church, being together. Because actually, we do want to go over here sometimes, even though we are dead to it. There's something about that that we need to still continue to work out, and that's us together in community, dead to sin, but alive in Christ together, growing up into him together. So let's take a pause. Let's have a think. You've been baptized. What did it mean? Is it time to kind of go back to that? And you don't need to be baptized again, but to remember what it was about. And maybe take a step back from this side, a bit more over to this side, and go, yes, I am dead to sin. God's done it. Christ has done it. He's done it on the cross for me, and I need to live in that. Maybe you're thinking of being baptized, and the 7th of April may be a time where you can ask questions. And perhaps you're already going, actually, I've heard enough this morning to go, I just need to get on with it because God's calling me to do it. And you'll know that. So grab somebody, chat to somebody. Or maybe it's like that jar of hot chocolate going in for the first time. You want a new start. There's something about you want to wipe the slate clean. The guilt, shame, the thinking, the wrong motives, all that kind of stuff. Because you want a relationship with God and you can have that. There's a new start for you. Chat to somebody that you came with this morning.